statement, and it's part of our lay, is that we have to have discussion, and we'll have to be put on our agenda, and we have to vote on it. And there, I feel it should be all three commissioners in on that, and that's why you're not getting anything.
And that's reasonable. What I really believe, these kinds of things are kind of grueling, but if we can get Branson, Hollister, and Taney County to agree, and the health department to agree that we're in, if we can make this work. Now, if we can't make it work, then none of us are in because there's nothing there to be in. But if it does, the next thing you do is you wind up with a slide projector on a screen and all these little cities together, and you go through this stuff. Because otherwise, they're not going to go through it. Or they're not going to understand what they're going through, and it's hard for them. So we go through, and it takes a while. When you go through one of those agreements, it takes an hour plus. But you just go through and you say, this is what we're talking about here. This is how this works. This is how that works. This is how the fees are arrived at. Everybody gets one vote. So there's not everybody outvoting each other because of their contribution or their whatever. And then if Taney County is the parent organization on all of this, there can be no vote of the changes things materially without Taney County being present for the vote. Because in the biosolids, Branson and Hollister, because we both have centrifuges and because we're both large contributors, we have to be present for a vote to change the laws or to do something material with the costs or those kinds of things. We might vote no, but we still have to be there for the vote. And so you might have something like that in there so that if you guys are, like I say, the parent organization, everybody can't get together and do a mutiny and ride you out of town without a vote because you didn't show up that day. And the other thing that's kind of part and parcel to being a parent organization is you have a place to meet and you're centrally located. I mean, that's some of the things that have to do with that. But we get everybody around a table and try not to frighten them. A lot of this stuff is frightening to folks that don't think they have the resources. And then if somebody says, we would be in, but we don't have the money. And first of all, we don't know what money that is. We need to, if everybody says, look, we would be willing to take a look at this if we could afford it, then we figure out, if we can afford it, what that means. Chief Dobbins is familiar with the Kansas City model. That has seemed to be an attractive model as we've all looked at it. It has something like this. The jurisdictions are responsible for animal control, and then they go into a separate shelter situation that is run by a shelter staff. And so there's two pieces to this. I don't see anything wrong. I think that's been a model that's worked pretty well. There's other models that have been researched, and we have options to pick and choose best practices, those kinds of things. But first, we got to get buy-in that if everybody could afford this, they'd be willing to participate. Then we figure out what that means. And I think a figure that we start with is $400,000-ish, and then kind of go from there. How much of that could be farmed out to a 501c3 contract partner, animal shelter of some kind or another, then we get proposals for who that might be. It's going to be complex, but we've got to get a buy-in at the start of this, or we're going nowhere.
You said you're making your recommendation tomorrow at 9:00. At least at my decision making level, which is not much, I've got chief, and then we've got the city council. They feed a lot off of what he says, so I'll go back and report all this to him. But if Taney County Health Department puts out to all of those, especially my city administration or city manager or anything, and say, hey, look, starting January 1, this is not going to be how these things are run, they'll see the kind of the urgency in taking care of this, and I think that would hop them on board a little bit quicker.
When Alderman Parnell was there, mm-hmm. he had submitted, and we have a copy of what he had thought things might look like in the future, too. So there's that's been there. But again, we just have to get everybody on board or not.
Just another thing we need to talk about, public is going to go forward. We are having a veterinary medical student sort of on the National Public Health doing her internship this summer from the zoo. And she's going to actually do a project where she's going to assess the feral cat population.
And the threat of rabies.
And the threat of rabies. So that's going to be, you know, from her standpoint, her professional opinion, she's going to have some pretty solid recommendations and probably some strategies that we could use going forward. So, you know, I think that, you know, those bigger issues that are out there that are on everybody's mind, you know, we can take care of those. We need to take care of these first steps before we can get to those things.
So you said you're going to be depressing and ask you for sure. With the employees of the euthanization so much and everything. I've got a friend, she's living here in Ozark, and she just works 3 days a week, and there's an intern working with her, and she's been either for one reason or another, something that couldn't be, and the intern said, I think I need to change to the other bed, because it seems like all you do is anyway.
It is psychologically tough, and I know Sherry can speak firsthand for what she's seen her employees go through, what she's come through, but it is difficult. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do to make those decisions who's going to become the truck, who's going to stick around. So you're just saying that you're just going to euthanize and everything. That's easier said than done. There's another component to it that you'll have a lot of people with burnout, and you'll be training a lot of people constantly because they're not going to stick around very long. But that's all we see is that harsh reality.
But they're not actually doing it.
No, we're just putting them on the truck because mm-hmm. you know the outcome. And it's especially when they're healthy dogs in place.
Somebody's doing it, though. So, I mean, whether we look in the eyes of the one that's actually doing it or we're just putting them on the truck, I mean, that's happening, so.
But the good thing is we are hard people that are that dedicated, that compassionate, that they have that big heart in order to put up with all the work, because it is tough work. It's not easy.
I wish then the people that are questioning whether this is the right approach, to see the husky we have with a head this big and a body this big because he's been starved all of his life. Mm-hmm. And he was left with 13 cats and he'd eaten like 5 of them. And so there's chewed up pieces of cats all over the place and some of them, and those cats could climb right up the walls to get away from him and all that because they'd been left in a house for 2 months with nobody, and they'd been starved long, long, long before that. And so then euthanization, And we spent, I don't know how much money treating that husky.
I was going to say, what are you going to do with that husky then?
He was treated and then euthanized.
He had to, because there's no...
Because that's the rules. That's what happened to him. But see those animals that come in that are just injured and malnutritioned and just sick and parvoed and everything else. And euthanization, there's worse things been euthanization for those animals, I can tell you that, and some of them have been through it for a very long time, and so that plays into it too. But the healthy ones that just have been mistreated, my grandson-in-law just got his vet's degree this last 2 weeks ago. He's got a dog that the guy shined and made him chase lasers all the time, so that the dog will be coming along just fine, and all of a sudden will just stop. And he said, "What?" And he said, "He saw something shiny, a belt buckle, a shoe buckle, something," and he just stops. And he's just, and it's so there's animals that have been mistreated forever, and so you see those too.
Yeah.
And then the feral cats. You go to Sheriff's Place and you walk down by some feral cats and they're ready to bite you through the cage, through everything else. It's just like capture whenever you live trap a raccoon or whatever. I mean, they're possum, they're angry. And that's who these animals are, because they're wild animals. Anyway, I get the idea about that being the sole part of your job is to load people to nowhere on a truck, but worse things sometimes.
And they see it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure they do.
The kennel techs and the officers see it. And so it's not always the worst thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they realize there's not really an acceptable alternative. They're either. Mm-hmm. And the vet does that once he makes that decision, she does mm-hmm. that. What's best for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think it's some particular qualified, whether they're kennel techs or whatever they are, but they have to be trained qualified people, whether they're necessarily a vet or whether they have other certifications. But they just need to, we need to not be making those judgments in the field. That's all.
He's a special person, like in every job, in a nursing home or anywhere else.
Yeah. I have one kennel tech that's been there 6 years. And she is as dedicated as they can be.
That's where she's.
I'll say one last thing. The program, it's dedicated staff. It's running really well. There's lots of resources in terms of rescue groups and information that they have. So it's a really great position. It's just trying to define that future. So it's not like you're going to be dealing with the broken, defunct program. The program is running very well, dedicated, excellent staff out there. So it's just a matter of figuring out what the next transition is going to be.
This is
nothing
to do with
that,
but since Sean Pippen, grates in the show, didn't have to maintain it, has there any more issues?
Since they put the grates in
the... Yeah, he put in, yes, and showed the staff how to take those.
Oh, the drain? Not that I'm aware of. There haven't been any issues.
I know from the sewer department complaining about, you know, all that going into it.
Right, and Robert spoke with them regarding they were going to put, you can explain it better than I can. Weren't they putting a hair trap or something in? I know they were out there with the backhoe.
Yeah, I think they were going to put in something to also collect from the building going in. Yeah, so they'll have the actual drain, the filters or whatever there in the each kennel. But then, as it leaves the building, before it gets into the sewer system, there'll be another trap there to catch it here.
Sean Scott,
yeah,
he installed those inside the building and showed him how to.
Okay, so yeah, this should help.
Okay, so what's happening next here?
I guess we're waiting for jurisdictions to make a formal declaration or statement that they're going to want to join the partnership.
Did I? Oh, you were going to go back to
mm-hmm.
here.
Go back and report up, and I'm sure they will.
And
you'll send out a declaration or something to us, what you're wanting. I think it just needs to include that we're on board to develop the documents for a partnership mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. I don't think we're ready to join a partnership yet because that's going to take political elected mm-hmm. official votes, and that vote. We need to know who's going to be on board to construct this thing and do the stuff.
But they're willing to go a step two.
Yeah. In some kind of formal fashion.
I'll draft something up, but I guess it would have to be